Praise the Lord. Message 266. The title of the message, Preparation for Godly Marriage, Part 4. Let's open our Bible to the Book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, Chapter 27. And let's read verse 1 to verse 11. The daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came forward and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and said, Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers, who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives, and give their father's inheritance to them. Say to the Israelites, If a man dies and leaves no son, give his inheritance to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan, that he may possess it. This is to have the force of law for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, and we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word that you send always to direct your church and your people to continue to do your will, and whatever ordained for us to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray you make the message clear. I pray for anointing upon my lips, and make the message, Lord, arranged in the way that you want it to flow. I pray for humility and humbleness in the heart and minds of your people whom you called to hear and to listen to this message. I pray that you will reap the fruit that you desire to see in the life of each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that the message will give solutions, direction, impart wisdom, deliverance, and will add blessing to your church and to the ministry that you give to each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, as we have read, that their father died in the wilderness, and they were about to be denied to receive their father's inheritance, because all of them are girls, and there was no boy among them. So they came all together, and they raised up this issue and this question to the assembly, to Moses, and they came to the tent meeting, to God and to the elders, to Moses, and to the priests, and to the whole assembly. This is the issue and this is the question. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives. At that time, the inheritance would pass from father to the sons and not to the daughters, because the name of the father would pass to the sons and not to his daughters. So that was the rule. So the inheritance from the father to the son, and since this man has no sons, then his inheritance will not pass to his daughter, so his name will be disappearing from the tribe of Manasseh. The name of the father and the family name and the tribe name, according to that time, the rule will be passed to the son, who will carry that for the next generation. Therefore, with all that the material inheritance of the father, whatever the father has, the son will inherit and not the daughters. That issue was raised up by the daughters of Zelophehad of the family of Manasseh, because they knew that when they will enter the promised land, they will not receive any inheritance, because they are guests, there were no boys among them. This man has no sons, but he has daughters. With this statement, give us a property among our father's inheritance. They make this statement. Give us a property among our father's relatives. Here the daughters of Zelophehad secure their rights in having inheritance like others of their father's relatives, as well as secure that the name of their father will not disappear from his clan. So here the point is very clear. They were not asking for their inheritance, but they are asking that their father name will not disappear. And when they will ask for this purpose, then they need to receive an inheritance. So in response to this question, as we have read in verse 5, Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, the Lord answered, what in verse 5, what Zelophehad's daughter are saying is right. You must certainly give them a property as an inheritance among their father's relatives, and give their father's inheritance to them. Say to the Israelite, if a man dies and leaves no son, give his inheritance to his daughter. So here, God approved to them their request and made it a law that if a man die and has no son, then his daughters can take the inheritance. So here, very clear. God makes it very clear that a man, if he has no son, then the daughter can inherit. And not only that, and also God answer in more detail, and God used this opportunity to answer more questions, that as we have read in verse 10, if he had no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers, and if he has no one, if he has no son, give it to the daughter. If he has no daughters, give it to his brothers. If he have no brothers, give his inheritance to his father, brothers. That's verse 10. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan that he may possess it. This is to have the force of law for the Israelite as the Lord commanded Moses. So that question that daughter of Zelophehad had raised has solved other problem and give solution for further issue that will raise up a man and die, and there is no suitable person to inherit his inheritance. The Lord give an answer so that the inheritance will be inherited to the right person, and the name of that person will not disappear from the record of the Israelite. The issue of the daughter of Zelophehad, son of Hefer, and their concern is something was well known, and it was in the mind of the people that one day needed to be addressed and solved. You know, in Numbers chapter 26, there was a census had been done for the people before they entered the promised land, and this family, Zelophehad, son of Hefer, is mentioned in this census. In verse 33, it says, Zelophehad, son of Hefer, had no sons. He had only daughters, whose names were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. that, you know, issue was in the mind of the people and was complicated and not a simple one to be easily solved, because they know that inheritance will pass from father to the son. But this man has no son, he has four, he has five daughters. So therefore, when this man died and they know that they will not receive inheritance, they brought this matter before the highest leadership in the church. They came forward and stood before Moses, Eleazar, the priests, the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and said, our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no son. So the issue was brought to Moses, because in the book of Exodus, when the government of the people of God was based on using judges, the judges in Exodus chapter 18 verse 26 say they serve as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Now with this case, they cannot decide themselves, they need to brought to Moses. And when they speak about Moses, is that it have to be brought to the tabernacle to be brought to God, to the highest authority. So we had the priests and the whole assembly and the entrance of the tent of meeting. So marriage is something that not only concern of boy or girls or father and mother, but the church, the leadership of the church, the pastor of the church, the elders of the church should get involved and should play their active, crucial role in the life of the people of God. We know that the tribe of Manasseh, they took their inheritance on the other side of Jordan. And we will read Numbers 32, verse 33 to verse 42. Then Moses gave to the Gadites, the Reubenite, and the half tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the whole land with its cities and the territory around them. The descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, went to Gilead, captured it, and drove out the Amorites who were there. So Moses gave Gilead to the Machirites, the descendant of Manasseh, and they settled there. Jael, the descendant of Manasseh, captured their settlement and called them Habuth Jair, and Nobah captured Kenath and his surrounding settlement and called it Nobar after him. So here we find that Gilead from Manasseh, he received his inheritance. So what he gave here to Machir, son of Manasseh, with that inheritance, the daughter of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, that belonged to the clan of Manasseh of Joseph, received their inheritance. And when they received their inheritance, these daughters of Zelophehad, the five daughters, praise God, they fight for their rights, and God give them their right, and the people of God, they give them their right. But there was another issue need to be addressed at this time. Here the tribe of Manasseh, they were having one issue, objecting to give the daughter of Zelophehad their inheritance, and they had put a valid reason for that before Moses and the rest of the leaders, the priests, and the assembly of the people. And if we will read Numbers chapter 36 verse 1 to verse 4, see here, the family heads of the clan of Gilead, son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, who were from the clans of the descendants of Joseph, came and spoke before Moses and the leaders and the heads of the Israelites family. They said, when the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land as an inheritance to the Israelites by lot, he ordered you to give the inheritance of our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. And again the same issue was raised up. He told them this the way that the Lord commanded you that they will get their inheritance of our brother Zelophehad, the five daughters. They have no objection about that. Now, verse 3. Now suppose they marry men from other Israelite tribes, then their inheritance will be taken from our ancestral inheritance and added to that of the tribe they marry into. And so, part of the inheritance allotted to us will be taken away. When the year of the Jubilee for the Israelites comes, their inheritance will be added to that of the tribe into which they marry, and their property will be taken from the tribal inheritance of our ancestors. So he told them that they told the leadership they will marry from other tribes. In the year of Jubilee, their inheritance will be transferred to that tribe that they marry. And this land that allocated to the tribe of Manasseh, when these girls will marry from another tribe, then our inheritance will be less, will be affected. And that's a valid reason. They put a valid reason why they have reservation toward what God said in giving inheritance to the daughter of their brother Zelophehad, that his daughter, if they will marry men from other tribes, then their inheritance, their tribal inheritance will be transferred to other tribe, and the property of Zelophehad's daughters will be taken from the tribe of Manasseh and be shipped to other tribe. That was a valid reason to object, and it was linked with their decision to whom they will get married. You know, when they raised up this issue, they were not raising up against that they will get inheritance, but the issue was to address to whom they will shall marry. They say that if they are going to marry from the tribe, we will have no problem. The land will be not transferred to other tribe. But if they will go to other tribe, then the issue need to be addressed. And now, not after marriage, but now before marriage. Now, we know that the Israelites and the people of God, the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot marry from other than those who follow Christ and disciple of Christ, or from the people of God. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 15 and 16, we read that, be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land. For when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your son, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your son to do the same. Now there's the first restriction that the Israelites know, and we know also that we cannot marry from non-believers and those who are not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In addition to that, the issue was raised that the Zelophehad daughters should not have the freedom to marry from other tribes, so the tribal inheritance shall not be transferred to other tribe. And God responded to that objection and agreed with the suggestion that the elders of the tribe of Manasseh had been raised up, and he agreed with them that the Zelophehad daughter should not marry outside the tribe of Manasseh, or they should marry only from the tribe of Manasseh, as we continue to read in Numbers chapter 36 verse 5 to 12. Then at the Lord's command, Moses gave this order to the Israelites. What the tribe of the descendants of Joseph is saying is right. This is what the Lord commands for Zelophehad's daughter. They may marry anyone they please, as long as they marry within their father's tribal clan. No inheritance in Israel is to pass from one tribe to another, for every Israelite shall keep the tribal inheritance of their ancestors. Every daughter who inherits land in any Israelite tribe must marry someone in her father's tribal clan, so that every Israelite will possess the inheritance of their ancestors. No inheritance may pass from one tribe to another, for each Israelite tribe is to keep the land it inherits. So Zelophehad's daughter did as the Lord commanded Moses. Zelophehad's daughter, Mahla, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah married their cousin on their father's side. They married within the clans of the descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in their father's tribe and clan. You know, what we have read, something is very beautiful, and we can get from it a guidelines about preparation for godly marriage, and we can link it with the New Testament church and what the Lord ordained for us as a church and as a ministry. The first point here, the right to marry. In Numbers 36 verse 6, this is what the Lord commands for Zelophehad's daughter. They may marry. They have the right to marry. Every disciple of Jesus had the right to marry and has a family, but everything should be go and should be done according to the will of God, and God's word should come through in his or in her life. The daughter of Zelophehad, they had inheritance and they were prepared, so they can marry. They were prepared. They have materially they are prepared. Spiritually they are also prepared. The daughter of Zelophehad, they can marry only Israelite, and that is well known to them. They cannot marry outside the tribe of Israel. Also, in the New Testament, we have the same in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 and 14, that we cannot marry from with non-believers. You say, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, say the Lord. Touch no unclean things, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, say the Lord Almighty. So here, there is the right to marry, but we understand from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18, that man or woman cannot be yoked with non-believer. Also, Paul stated the right to marry in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28, but if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. So those who want to marry, they have the right to marry. But first, those who are in Christ. Those who are in Christ, the disciple, if they will marry, they have to marry believer. This is the first condition. Also, Paul stated about the right of marriage in First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. Paul said, First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? So here stated about the right of the apostle to marry a believer wife. In King James, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, in King James said in this way, have we not power to lead about our sister a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? So here, to lead a sister, a wife, so that she must be a believer, she must be a disciple, she must be a sister for Jesus, or a brother of Jesus. So the first point is the right to marry. The second point, the restriction of choice. The disciple of Jesus have the right to marry, but there's a restriction of the choice, or on the choice. The first restriction is he has or she has to marry a believer, a disciple of the Lord. We will read further and we'll understand about the restriction of choice. The daughter of Zelophehad, although were allowed to marry, but they were restricted to marry only from that particular tribe. Chapter 36, verse 6. This is what the Lord commanded for Zelophehad's daughter. They may marry anyone they please, as long as they marry within their father's tribal clan. So here they can marry, but it must be from the father tribal clan. Now the statement that we have read, that in Numbers chapter 36, verse 6, they may marry anyone they please, as long as they marry within their father's tribal clan. The statement is that they may marry anyone they please. They please. You may understand that they can marry of what they like or wish. But if you will read Numbers chapter 36, verse 6 in King James Version, we read it in this way. This is the thing which the Lord had thus command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. What is said here in King James, in NIV say, they may marry anyone they please. Here, let them marry to whom they think best. So, it does not depend on their wishes or dreams or desires, ambition or heart condition, but the statement to whom they think best, that they should use their mind, and when they use their mind, the mind should be based on the mind of God and the word of God, to find out to whom God called them to marry. That's very clear here. Let them marry to whom they think best. So they need to use their mind. And when we speak about mind, our mind, say that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Marriage never in the scripturally, never based on the condition of the heart. Although some people of God foolishly they went and depend on their heart, but according to God's word and scripture, the mind should decide. They should think best. They should have the mind of Christ. Their mind should be the word of God and the will of God. So what God had put before them, before the Zelophehad daughter, that they need to think properly before they can think about marriage. Now, how about those who cannot think properly, who do not know how to manage their life? So we can't speak about marriage. They need to think properly so that they can think the best. And their thinking, after they can think best, their thinking should go with God's word and His will and His plan. Then only they can think who is the best, whom they are called to be a helper to Him, to marry, to do God's will and plan. The girls, the disciples of Jesus, the woman, are called to be helper. But for whom? Not to whom they please. To whom they think best. Now they think best not depend on the condition of the hearts, but on the word of God and on the will of God. Now so here, second point, the restriction of choice. And what we can put the next point, there is always restriction about the choice of marriage. If you look intently into the word of God that we have read, you will discover there is restriction. You know, God, with the solution that He gave to the daughters of Zelophehad, He put restriction about the choice of marriage. You know, when He say in Numbers chapter 36 and verse 7, He say, in verse 6, He said that they may marry anyone to whom they think best, only from their tribal clan. In verse 7, He said, no inheritance in Israel is to pass from one tribe to another, for every Israelite shall keep the tribal inheritance of their ancestors. So here, there is a generalization of the restriction. A disciple simply cannot marry another disciple unless ordained by God. So that ministry, because here speak about inheritance in Zelophehad's condition. In the New Testament we have ministry. So that ministries will be built up and not abolished or diminished. That's why, you know, the parents and the elders of the church, elders of the ministry and the church leader, all they must come together to reach an approval before marriage will be agreed or go on. So the third point, there is always restriction about the choice of marriage. Speaking about disciples, if you are a disciple, there is a restriction. Marriage choice, the point number four, marriage choice restriction is generalized. God, with the solution that He gave to the daughters of Zelophehad, He generalized that to the rest of the Israelites. In verse 8, Numbers chapter 36, verse 8, every daughter who inherits land in any Israelite tribe must marry someone in her father's tribal clan, so that every Israelite will possess the inheritance of their ancestors. So here, you see here, every daughter who has a land, she cannot go to other tribe. Any daughter from any clan, from any tribe, who inherits because the father has no son, she should not marry outside that tribe. There is a generalization of the restriction for marriage. God generalized that to the rest of the Israelite daughters who are having inheritance. The same now today in the New Testament church. Those who has ministry. Now I can define those who has ministry. Those who had water baptized are obliged to follow God's restriction and chosen marriage. If you have not yet baptized, he is not aware, he is not giving his life to the Lord through repentance and baptism, he is not yet disciple. There is no accountability from his side. But those who are disciple and How we can define them? How we can define them in your church? That whom you are baptized, they are disciples. They cannot do their own. Point number 5, marriage choice is linked with eternal inheritance. God, with the solution that he gave to the daughter of Zelophehad, he linked the marriage of the disciple with the eternal inheritance. In verse 8, you know, every daughter who inherits land in any Sarah tribe must marry someone in her father's tribal clan, so that every Israelite will possess the inheritance of their ancestors. It says here, will possess the inheritance. You know, at that time, the inheritance of the daughter of Zelophehad was about their father's land. For us today is our eternal life from God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life for us today while we are on earth is what Jesus did for us on the cross, and how we respond to that faithfully, and how we live our lives and serve God, and how we conduct our ministries and our responsibilities. So here, ministry on earth, while we are on earth serving the Lord in His church, is comparable to the, it is parallel to the inheritance that you receive in heaven. If you keep it here, faithful in it here, it will be kept for you, safe in heaven. Point number 6, marriage choice should bring prosperity to the ministry. Not to the person or to the man only, but to the ministry. Not to the girl or to the man, but the church affected and the ministry affected. Or the ministry stubborn or spoiled because she liked to marry this man and he liked to marry this girl. And everything is spoiled. The disciple who has a service and ministry, his marriage should be for the enhancement of that, as it is in accordance to God's word and will and plan. God's restriction in marriage for the disciple is the way that God used to lead the disciple to marry God's choice and will, and on the perfect time of God. You know, in King James Numbers chapter 36 verse 8, it says, and every daughter that possesses an inheritance or a ministry in any tribe of the, in any church of the children of Israel shall be wife and to one of the family of shall be a wife and to one of the family of the tribe of her father, the family of the church, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his father. You see here that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his father. Therefore, marriage in accordance to God's word and in accordance to God's will and choice is a blessing, enjoyment, and a prosperity for the ministry. And that's here the point. Is your marriage is a blessing, enjoyment, and a prosperity for the ministry, or the opposite? Check your choice. You know, here the statement in this message, God's restriction in marriage for the disciple is the way that God used to lead the disciple to marry God's choice. If you are restricted, it means that that's not God's choice, what you are choosing. God still wants to lead you to be in the center of His perfect will. Point number 7, there is always a right choice provided by God. Numbers chapter 36. Verse 10 to verse 11, 12, you can read the following. So Zelophehad's daughters did as the Lord commanded Moses. Zelophehad's daughters, Mahla, Tirza, Hogla, Hilka, and Noah, married their cousins on their father's side. They married within the clans of the descendant of Manasseh, son of Joseph, and their inheritance remain in their father's tribe and clan. So here God provides for them the right choice for marriage, the ministry prosper, and Everything was at peace, everyone happy, everyone was agreeing, and God is approving. God is not unjust, and He will provide all the needed things. When the church and the disciples and the elders and the parents and the children are abiding with these guidelines that God has placed in His word, things will go well and God's choices will be found out. When we are in this level of obedience, we'll find that God has provided choices, right choices of Him to us, to our children. Do you are single? But when disobedience and disregard to God's word and instruction prevail, wrong matches with wrong choices will form new marriages, and the ministry of God will be greatly affected. The daughters of Zelophehad did what God commanded, and they married their cousins on their father's side, as God ordained. They married within that class of the descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in their father's tribe and clan. The point here, if they would marry otherwise from outside their tribe, then the tribe of Manasseh would have the right, and they have the right to take away their lands out of their hands. You know, if they will marry not from the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Manasseh will have the right with this group to take their ministry out of them. In the same way, the church has the right not to entertain and keep the disciples who would do their own will and marry wrong choices that would affect the outcome and the quality of the service and the ministry of God. The leaders of the tribe of Manasseh, they were responsible and they addressed the issue, and God put outlines for the solution so that mistake would not happen that will affect the outcome of people's life and God's ministry. And here, this message also will make things clear and put outline before mistake will happen. And the word of God is the vision of God, is the light, and through the light we can see. And people without vision will lack restraint. Here, the word of God will help us, will help you to realize that you are not free to choose what you like. But there's restriction. It is for your benefit to be restricted so that you will be matched. You will be a partner to a person who is God's choice for you. So you'll be blessed. You'll enjoy the inheritance of your Father. Eternity will be secured. Ministry and church will be built up according to the word of God. God has a purpose in sending this message, to impart to you deeper understanding and to grasp the way of God and the choice of God in more clear way. God called you to be a responsible person, to think about God and about the people with you and about yourself and about the church and about the ministry in God's perspective and in eternity of you. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Come, commit yourself to God. If you are single and you are a disciple and you are not yet married and you hear the message, commit yourself to the Lord. God wants you to marry a certain person so that you enjoy the blessing of your Father and the ministry of God will prosper and things will go well with you. Commit yourself, say, Lord, thank you for your word to me. I commit myself to apply the principle that I learned from the message. Lord, give me the discernment and the wisdom of how to apply your word in my life and in the life of my family and ministry. God, I want to pray in the name of Jesus. I thank you from the depths of my heart for your word that you send us, that make things clear to us. And I pray for each and everyone who listens to abide I pray for humility. I pray that they will rejoice in the truth, charity and love, rejoice in the truth. Lead them, those who listen, to abide with your will, and let bear fruit, O God, to see in life of your church and your people. And I pray that whatever the purpose of sending this message, shall your purpose be prevail in the life of your church and your people. O God, bless us, Lord, and take this message to every member whom you think that need this message. Bless us, O God. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us, O God, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.